We are going to be this evening in Exodus chapter 35. We are going to be referencing a little bit Exodus chapter 34. But I am just going to read the passages in Exodus 35 here, and then I'll make reference over to 34 as we begin. Beginning in verse 1, Moses assembled all the congregation of the people of Israel and said to them, "These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. 6 days work shall be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire in all your dwelling places on the Sabbath day." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Sabbath day. We thank you for this day that you have given us, this one day out of seven, to rest, to focus, to remember. We pray that you would be with us as we take advantage of the opportunity that we have even tonight to spend time in your word, taking a rest from our busy schedules, to hear what you would have say to us. And so we pray that you would indeed speak to us. Teach us about yourself. Teach us about Christ. Point us to him more and more. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. A wise person once commented that repetition is the mother of all learning. And I completely agree, as does Scripture. A wise person once commented that repetition is the mother of all learning. And I completely agree, as does Scripture. Just seeing if you're awake, just making sure. Sometimes we get that feeling like it's deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra famously used to say. We've seen this before. We've come across this already. Didn't he just say that? And it's possible for us to get the same feeling here in chapter 35 as we read this short little paragraph about the Sabbath day. I have learned over the years of studying the Old Testament that when the Bible says something repeatedly, it's important. And let's be honest, this Sabbath discussion is getting very repetitive because we see it again and again and again and again. We've seen the Sabbath discussed in chapter 31, back in verses 12 and 13 of that chapter. The Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from his people. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." God here reminded Israel that they needed the Sabbath day as a sign that they were set apart, and as a sign that God had set one day apart, making the seventh day holy, set apart from other nations as they celebrated this Sabbath day that was fairly unique for their culture. But we also saw the Sabbath mentioned back in chapter 34, verse 21. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. And now here again in chapter 35, we again have a repetition of the Sabbath requirement. In fact, we have almost a word-for-word repetition here in chapter 35, verse 2, as we do in chapter 31, verse 15. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. So here we are within a span of four chapters, and we have three discussions on the Sabbath day. Three discussions that are very similar. And there's a reason. There is a structural reason for this repetition. It's not random. We started our study here in Exodus in chapter 25. Sean actually began in chapter 1, but I started kind of partway through the book at chapter 25, at what I thought was a logical place to start, and it is a logical place on one level, but this repetition actually begins in chapter 23. There is a pattern of repetition. Beginning in chapter 3, we have a discussion of the Sabbath day and the feasts. And then we have a discussion of the conquests of the nations, followed by a confirmation of the covenant with Moses, a discussion of contributions to the temple in chapter 25. Here in chapter 35, we had the exact same sequence, except it's flipped. It goes backwards. So we kind of went 1, 2, 3, 4, and now we're going to go 4, 3, 2, 1. The list is in reverse order. Chapter 34, the confirmation of the covenant with Moses, followed by a discussion of conquest in the middle of the chapter, followed by a discussion of Sabbath and feasts, and the next thing will be contributions of the temple. We have this repeated structure that takes place here. As Sabbath and feasts and contributions and conquests and all of these things become important themes through these books as they're repeated one after another. I think Moses is trying to get our attention here. If you were to have read this book out loud to a group of people, your ears would have picked up on simply the repetition as the argument somewhat built and then the argument somewhat regressed, as you heard the progression and then, I suppose, the regression of the chapters as those themes were being repeated. Moses is being repetitive here so that we will catch on that he's saying something worth examining. He's saying something so we will hear them. He's making it clear the Sabbath is important. It's important, so I'm going to continue to say it again and again and again and again. But why? Why is the Sabbath so important? We see the Sabbath day in the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20. It's linked there with creation, that God created the world in 6 days and then rested. In chapter 23 of this chapter, or of this book, the Sabbath is linked with the idea of rest. In chapter 31, the Sabbath is a sign of being sanctified, set apart. Chapter 34, it's part of the covenant regulations. Chapter 35, we kind of look at it and we think, well, what is the reason? There isn't really a reason that is said here. The only reasoning we get is that the Sabbath day is holy to the Lord. But holiness, that's language that's picking up Exodus chapter 20, keeping the Sabbath day holy. But holiness is also mentioned in Exodus chapter 31. I am the Lord your God who makes you holy, who sanctifies you. This is what the Sabbath was supposed to point to, that God sanctified Israel, that God made them holy, set them apart for a special purpose. Again and again and again, Moses has repeated the commands of the Sabbath day, saying that the day is so holy in chapter 31 and here in chapter 35 that anyone who violates it is actually supposed to be put to death. And we begin to think, okay, Moses, you're making a point, you're repeating yourself. Here in chapter 35, he doesn't even repeat all the reasons for the Sabbath because I think he assumes that we've covered that. But now he keeps saying again and again, keep the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath. Why? Why keep repeating it? He's not adding anything to the argument. There's no additional reasons here. So why repeat it again? I think the first answer is that we forget. Israel needs a reminder. I think we all need a reminder. The very foundation of the Sabbath day is one of rest, one of pausing. The Hebrew word is literally to cease, to stop, of remembering that the Sabbath day is a day for us to stop working and to stop and to remember why God gave the Sabbath day. It's almost a retreat, a weekly retreat, where we retreat from our lives of work to take a break and to just remember. And to remember what it is that God has done for us. As Israel would have paused and remembered, we are God's covenant people. They celebrated a Sabbath every week. Every culture in the ancient Near East had all sorts of festivals and such, but to have one day out of every six, every seven that you stopped, that was different. That would have reminded Israel, we are different. It would also remind them that God created the world, that He was the creator and the sustainer of everything, that He created the Sabbath by resting on it. He made it holy by resting on it. So Israel's reminded they belong to God as His people. They belong to the Creator of the world. And honestly, in the midst of everything that was happening in Israel, that truth might have been easy to forget. As you're wandering through the desert, Or as you're simply trying to live, we say how busy we are. They were just as busy as we are today, perhaps even more so because their daily survival depended upon what they did each day. There was a literal, if you don't work, you don't eat. They needed to work. And in the midst of that, it was easy to become distracted and to forget everything that God had done. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated Valentine's Day. This year, Valentine's Day fell on a Wednesday, which means that here at Westminster, we had our weekly prayer meeting, 6:30 here in the sanctuary. So Michelle and I were here for that prayer meeting. That particular Wednesday was also the day of the school shooting down in Parkland, Florida. It also means that since it was mid-February, the Olympics were on TV. All of which means if you were in my house between the time that I arrived home from work at 5:30 until I left to take Sierra to youth group 45 minutes later, life in the Ferguson household was a little chaotic. Very chaotic. Even when I arrived home at 8:30 after picking Sierra up from youth group, life was still chaotic. Elena and Sierra didn't make it into bed that night until about 9 p.m., and the time after that was spent watching the U.S. women's hockey game and downhill skiing and curling and getting more information about the school shooting. Michelle was actually assembling a coffee table in our living room. I was working on a lecture for class at Bright. About 11:15, Michelle went to bed. I kept working on my lecture until about midnight, and then suddenly I realized it's Valentine's Day. Now, fortunately, I had bought the flowers in advance, so I didn't get in too much trouble. But in the craziness and the hubbub of our lives, Valentine's Day, it's a made-up holiday, but it was almost completely forgotten. Completely forgotten. That's what happens when we're busy. It's an important day for Michelle and I, and yet life is busy. We forget. We just go about other things. And if we remain busy, if we never paid attention to each other, always on the go, even married couples have a tendency to drift apart because relationships take work. So Michelle and I actually celebrated Valentine's Day on Friday night instead of Wednesday, 2 days later, but still a day that was an opportunity for us to stop and to pause and to remember our covenant, our marriage covenant. And that's how Israel's Sabbath was supposed to work. It was a day of rest, a day of taking a break and remembering their covenant relationship. Not necessarily their covenant marriage relationship with each other's spouse, but their spiritual marriage, their spiritual relationship with God. Israel in the Old Testament is often portrayed as the bride of God. God tells many parables. Ezekiel is one of the ones that jumps out my mind the most as he tells the story of finding Israel and of betrothing her and making her his wife. The church is described in the New Testament in the same way as the bride of Christ. Israel needs to be reminded of that as though every Sabbath day was almost an anniversary celebration. As though every Sunday was Valentine's Day, or whatever other romantic holiday you want to throw in there, of remembering who they were. We are God's bride. They needed to pause. They needed to stop. They need to remember that. And unfortunately, in today's culture, we no longer value this day of remembrance, even though it's just as crucial and important to our own relationship of God. We celebrate the Sabbath now not on the last day of the week, but the first day of the week because it's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. He rose on the first day of the week. And it is Christ's resurrection which weds us to Christ. It is his death, burial, and resurrection that seals our salvation, purchased by the blood of Christ. We have now been baptized, a sign of engagement to be Christ, says the Westminster Confession. Baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, as Paul says in Romans 6. We are now part of Christ's body, part of Christ's bride, the church, sealed by his own blood. We are the people of God. Which means that for us today, there is even more to be reminded of than the Israelites had in the Old Testament. There is so much more of an understanding of what it means to be the covenant bride of Christ today because now Christ has come and Christ has died. Christ has bought us for himself. We need this day to be reminded. This Sunday, the Christian Sabbath, the New Testament Sabbath, is a day still for us to pause and to remember and to be reminded. In many ways, it's not even about the day. It's about what the day points to. An anniversary is not the day that you were married. It's a day that points you back however many years ago it has been to the day that you were married. An anniversary reminds you of your wedding and your marriage, and even more importantly, your wedding vows. And in the same way, the Sabbath reminds us of our spiritual wedding to Christ. That Christ died reminds us of the spiritual rest that we now have in Him, even as we have the physical rest from our work. And so the Sabbath reminds us that our salvation is now in Christ. God has redeemed us and made us His people. And yet oftentimes we don't treat the Sabbath day as a day of great importance. Many times we treat it just like any other day. I mean, can you imagine for just a second if we treated our human anniversaries the way we often treat the Sabbath? Imagine, husbands, if you told your wife that you couldn't spend time with her on your anniversary day because you had other things that you really needed to do. You really wanted to celebrate your anniversary with her, but you really needed to mow the lawn. And that you just hoped that she understood that you couldn't spend time with her on your anniversary because the lawn was more important. Or wives, you were going to celebrate your anniversary with your husband, but you chose to sleep in instead. Or to go hang out with some other family or friends. I think it's pretty obvious our spouses would be pretty hurt if we did that. And yet we often have very little problem using those same excuses for skipping the day that is set aside for us to be reminded of our marriage to Jesus Christ. Of coming up with other excuses. And I'm not trying to be legalistic here. I'm not trying to be an oppressive Sabbatarian. I'm simply questioning why we don't treat our relationship with Christ, our marriage with the Son of God, why we don't treat our being part of the community of faith, the church, with at least as much importance as we treat that day set aside to remember our relationship with a human spouse. Why we would never think of forgetting or disregarding that day. Or for those of us who do sometimes forget or disregard that day, assuming that we're going to get in trouble for disregarding or forgetting that day, that anniversary, in a relationship that only exists within this lifetime, that ends at death. But the day that represents the anniversary of the conquering of sin and death and hell, that day that is a reminder of the rest that we have in Jesus Christ, why are we so willing to neglect that day? I think the same could really be asked about Israel as well. Moses keeps repeating this, and there should be an element of which we say, thanks, Moses, but Israel, why would you consider even for a moment not keeping the Sabbath? Why would that thought even cross your minds? And yet I think Israel has forgotten. I mean, how else do you explain the golden calf incident in chapter 32? How does a group of people who were given, even in chapter 31, before the golden calf, who were given the Sabbath day, who were told by God Himself, above all, keep my Sabbaths, for it's the sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. And yet in the very next chapter, Israel seems to have completely forgotten the Lord. They've forgotten all about Yahweh and instead placed their faith in the golden calf as the God that led them out of Egypt. They quickly forgot. The elders had actually eaten in the presence of God on the mountain. They had actually eaten in God's presence. And yet within a few days of that, they're leading the people after the golden calf, as though they had forgotten already who God truly was. And even more importantly, who they were. They were God's people. They quickly became like the nations around them. They threw a massive free-for-all festival around their false god, as the other heathen people did. They forgot it was their God, the Lord Almighty, who made heaven and earth, giving credit to this golden calf instead, even though the Sabbath day was supposed to teach them, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. God was the creator. That's part of what they were supposed to remember on the Sabbath day. And yet Israel has forgotten. It's only been a couple days. I think there's a reason why we have to celebrate the Sabbath every 7 days. We forget. We forget just as quickly as Israel forgot. We need the same reminder. Even the book of Hebrews reminds us not to neglect the gathering together with God's people. Even as Hebrews 4 reminds us that we have rested in Christ, but that there remains an eternal Sabbath rest for the people of God in a glorious paradise where we will have an eternal Sabbath in a new heavens and a new earth. We need that weekly reminder to keep our eyes focused ahead to that glorious Sabbath that awaits, but also to keep our eyes focused back to what Christ did at the cross. We need that reminder weekly. Some cultures around the world, some Christians actually gather daily for church services. Romania is one of those that meets every day. And they meet after work. But on this day, there's no work done. Not even the lighting of fires. There's nothing that's done because it's completely devoted to spending time reflecting upon God. They need to remember, why do we celebrate the Sabbath day? Why are we different? Why do we do what none of the nations do? Why can't we work on this day? Ah, yes. Because God is our Creator. He has set us apart and we are His people. But I think there's another reminder that's suggested here in this passage. Remember where we are in the context of Exodus and what has transpired thus far, what was in even the preceding chapters. God has begun to repeat His covenant, all of His covenant, or at least an example of all of His covenant, to Moses. Why? I mean, we have that repetition of, I'm going to drive out the nations, and here's the Sabbath regulations, and here's the contributions for the temple. He repeats not just the Sabbath, He repeats all of that information. We might think, well, why? What happened in between that first set of repetition and the second set? Well, right smack in the middle of that is the incident of the golden calf, when the covenant was broken. Literally, Moses took it, threw it off a mountain. And it broke. He broke it, ground it up. Moses smashed it there because the people had broken the law. They actually didn't even have it yet. He hadn't even brought it down off the mountain yet, and they'd already broken it. The first commandment says that ye shall have no other gods. Second commandment says don't make a graven image of even the Lord God. Doesn't matter which one you pick. If you say that the golden calf was a false god, or if you say the golden calf was supposed to be a representation of God, it didn't matter. They'd broken one of the Ten Commandments, which they didn't even have yet. They did what they were not supposed to do. They violated the covenant with God. And had it not been for the intercession of Moses, they would have been completely wiped out as a people. They would have been completely destroyed. In fact, we might be tempted to think, having read that recounting of the golden calf, we might think that maybe God is still going to destroy them. Maybe God's not going to lead them into the promised land. Maybe Israel just blew it and that's the end. Well, we've seen that's not going to be the case because Moses did intercede. But really, if this Sabbath is a sign that God has sanctified the people, if it's a Sabbath day that reminds them that God has set the people apart, that it's provided for them one day in seven to rest, then this Sabbath is also a reminder, it's also a pointer, it's also a sign to the fact that not even their sin of idolatry can negate God's covenant signs. You see, the sign was supposed to be, I've set one day apart for you because you are set apart. And then we have this incident in chapter 32, and we realize, but Israel's not set apart. They're just like all the other nations. They're just as idolatrous as the rest of them. They're just as wicked as the rest of them. They're just as sinful as the rest of them. And God comes in His grace and says, yes, but I have redeemed you. And that makes all the difference, says God. You are my people. I have redeemed you. I have chosen you out of all the nations of the earth. And it's not that you act like all the, different from all the nations that makes you set apart. It's because you're set apart that I expect you to act different. And God is telling them, look, this is still the covenant. Nothing has changed. Your sin does not negate my promises. Your sin does not negate what I've said. It doesn't even negate the signs that I've given you. You're still going to follow my Sabbaths. I'm still going to command that. God doesn't come up with a different set of signs here because they broke the first ones. He doesn't come up with a different set of covenant regulations saying, well, that sure didn't work. He comes up with the exact same ones and repeats them all over again and says, even when you sin, even when I have to send you off to Babylon and Assyria in exile and then call you back, even then, my covenant still remains. Along with the signs that I've given you, along with this reminder of the Sabbath, it still stands. Regardless of your sin, you still have this reminder. It's not as though God has cast them out, not as though He's uncreated them, not as though He's unchose them. It's all still the same. And Israel had the opportunity to remember that every 7 days. Not just we are God's people, but to remember every 7 days we are God's people and we don't deserve it. They can't think that God chose them because they were more mighty as a nation. Can't say that God somehow saw their potential as a people. I mean, that'd be a slightly ridiculous thought for a group of people who were slaves in Egypt. But for the sake of argument, let's say that that was at least an option, that somehow there was this great potential in this group of people. If you just liberated them, they would become wonderful. Well, the incident of the golden calf eliminated all possibilities of Israel's potential to be worthy of anything. It makes it very clear. Now all is revealed that they are a sinful, stubborn, stiff-necked, idolatrous people. They quickly turn their backs on God, and yet God will not turn His back on Israel. He forgives them. He redeems them. All over again. Israel can take rest. They can take solace. They can take refreshment in the knowledge that regardless of whatever sin they may commit, God forgives. God restores, God redeems, the Sabbath rest for His people continues. And I would suggest that you and I have that same reminder every Sunday. Every Sunday as we gather, yes, we understand that even today the Sabbath points to God setting us apart. We understand that notion of eternal rest, but there's also the sense in which we rest now. That we are already enjoying part of that Sabbath rest because already we understand how unworthy we are and that there is no amount of work that we could ever do that would make us right with God. And so already we're resting from any work, any efforts that we would put forward to try to get God to accept us based on our own merit. Instead, we come knowing that our work is sinful and tainted, and unworthy. We come knowing that we don't deserve the very rest that we are receiving. We don't deserve rest. But even that knowledge calls us to rest more. To rest more in Jesus Christ. Yes, we need physical rest. Even secular economists will tell you that. But it's more than that. Because this is a day of spiritual rest. A day for us to rest in the gospel, to be reminded and pointed again to the Sabbath of Jesus Christ, the rest that we have in Him. This is the point of the reminder. It's a reminder to rest in God's enduring covenant. It's a reminder of who we are in Christ. Even today, we have things to be reminded of. We have things to remember. We have the gospel. We have the truth of Christ. We know that despite our sin, we're forgiven. And we are still resting in that. And so as we consider Exodus 35, we need to be reminded to indeed rest in Him. To rest in Christ. To be reminded we don't deserve this day. That's why we don't rest in ourselves, in our own righteousness. But the Sabbath day reminds us, it teaches us that we rest in Christ. It reminds us that we are a people set apart. We are a holy nation and a royal priesthood. We are set apart as God's people. It should make a difference in our behavior, but it's not our behavior that earns that. Because we're resting in Christ and what Christ has done for us. And on this day, this Sabbath day, every 7 days, we have the opportunity to pause and to remember and to be reminded. To be reminded to rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this Sabbath that You have given us, this Sabbath day, this reminder day, and yet, Heavenly Father, we rejoice even more in the Sabbath rest that is ours in Christ. that we can rest from our work even as you rested from your work, knowing that in Christ it has all been done. We pray, Heavenly Father, that even on these Sabbaths, as we gather as your people to worship and to rejoice in the truths of the gospel, that we would indeed be reminded why it is that we're here. We're here to rest in you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's respond to our study of this scripture passage by singing appropriately another hymn about the Sabbath, about our day of rest and the Lord's day. Hymn number 390. Let's stand together as we sing, Lord of the Sabbath, hear us pray.
To you, and the Lord lift up his countenance.